The following is a presentation from the pulpit of Lancaster Baptist Church. For more audio and video content from our ministry, please visit lancasterbaptist.org.
Let's take our Bibles this morning. We're going to jump ahead today in the book of Luke to Luke chapter 5. We're continuing our series entitled Journey with Jesus, but we're going to move ahead to a different text, and then we'll move back to Luke chapter 3 and verse 1 next time. But just for today, we're going to jump ahead a little bit to the theme the Lord has laid on my heart for 2013. And so let's turn to Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Let's stand together for our text this morning. Once again, if you're a guest, welcome to the first Sunday of this new year. I'm excited about today for many reasons. I'm so excited about tonight. And let me just encourage you, you don't want to miss tonight. Now, this morning, we're going to have the calendar for you. We'll pass those out on the way out. You'll get a copy of the New Year's calendar. Tonight, we have a whole packet of materials of Bible reading schedules and calendar-related issues and helpful tools about Sunday school and different programs of the church that we want to give to you. And we're going to share with you the vision for the entire program of the church tonight in the evening service as we have a little more time there. So please pray for that service as well. Luke chapter 5, I'm excited for one reason about today, because I'm preaching for the first time from a brand new pulpit. And I like this pulpit. I'm looking forward to preaching from it. I'm looking forward to banging it up a little bit over the years to come. And this pulpit was designed by Brother Christensen and my son Larry, and built by one of our dear men, Brother Roland Ruber. And that means a lot to me, and it's a privilege to stand behind the sacred desk and preach the Word of God. So you pray for me as I do that, and we'll look forward to a great time in God's Word. Luke 5, beginning in verse number 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the Word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of a new year. We thank you for the gift of salvation and the gift of the Word of God. And we pray this morning that as we learn what it really means to launch out, Father, that on this day you would give us a beginning to the new year unlike we have ever experienced. And that you would give us the wind of your Spirit to set our sails in the right direction, that we might launch out not just a little ways, but into the deep, into the place where you do the great and mighty works that only you can do. Lord, increase our faith today is my prayer. And Father, as I stand behind this pulpit for the very first time, this new pulpit, I ask, Lord, that you would dedicate it, though it is only a piece of furniture, Lord. I pray that what is preached from behind this sacred desk would always lift the Lord Jesus up. I pray that the doctrine would always be sound. I pray that from this pulpit, your word would go forth, the King James Bible preached with authority and the power of the Holy Spirit, and that lives will be changed by the thousands should you tarry in your coming. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we learn how a single act of obedience to Christ's command can change the very purpose of every life here today. Simply hearing and obeying a command of Jesus Christ can change the purpose of every life here today. Peter was a common fisherman. Peter was a man who had worked for a living. His hands, no doubt, were calloused. He knew all about his trade. But he was about ready to meet his Creator. He was about ready to see that life is never the same when you obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus centered much of his ministry around this Galilean region. And as we think about this region, it is indeed a beautiful area. If you could envision perhaps the foothills of the San Joaquin Valley with a body of water, something about 16 miles wide and 20-some miles long, it's actually a very beautiful, fertile area of the world. It is an area today that is surrounded by, of course, numbers of hostile countries, whether it be Lebanon to the north or Syria over to the east or Jordan or Egypt. Israel is surrounded by many today who would desire to destroy the land. But at this particular time in the first century, of course, it was a Roman Empire, and it was a time when the Jews were under a Roman occupation. And we learn of the Sea of Galilee that this was a place where Jesus spent much of his earthly ministry, teaching, ministering, and healing around this Sea of Galilee, a sea that is 732 feet below sea level, a place that was really the source of water then, and in many ways the source of water today for those who live in the area we call the Holy Land. When I was there a few years ago at the Sea of Galilee, they had just in recent months found a first century fishing boat, and they very carefully brought it up from the floor of the sea and had placed it in a museum to give us a little idea of the type of vessel that was used in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not very long, maybe 16 or 20 feet long, not very wide, maybe 5 or 6 feet wide. But these were the types of vessels that Peter, James, and John would launch out into the Sea of Galilee, normally at night, throw out their nets and make their living as they made their living day by day and provided for their family. This morning we understand as we see these pictures, we understand as we open the Word of God that the Bible is not mere philosophy. The Bible is recorded history. The Bible is God's revelation to man. And God is giving to us His revealed will this morning. He is teaching us lessons about how to live the Christian life. And I believe this year that our response to the Word of God will make all of the difference with respect to how we launch into the new year and how we sail and journey in the new year. How will we respond to the Word of God? Peter had that choice, and we have that choice this morning. Will it be just another sermon, just another message? Or will it truly be spoken into our spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, directing us and guiding us, and we, as men and women made of human clay, saying, "Here am I, Lord, I will do what you want me to do. At thy word, Lord, I will. I will." Too many Baptists today are saying, "I won't." Where are the people today who will say, "I will"? Well, today, as we visit the shores of Galilee, I want you to notice, first of all, the ministry of Jesus Christ. I want us to understand some of the ministry. The Bible tells us in verse 1, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And they saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, the ministry of Jesus Christ was beginning to expand. People were beginning to hear him and understand him, and we see in the Bible that they're pressing upon him because they want to hear the word of God, verse 1 says. And what a wonderful thing that people wanted to hear the word of God, and Jesus was teaching and preaching the word of God. Now, Jesus had already called Andrew and Peter and John unto himself. But on this day, he would call them to a life of discipleship. It's one thing to accept Jesus as your Savior. It is another thing to follow him wholeheartedly as your Lord. And on this day, Peter, James, and John were going to receive a call unto discipleship. I don't know about you, but sometimes I like to think in terms of the context of a passage, and I was wondering this past few months, why fishermen? Why did Jesus begin his ministry with fishermen? Maybe soldiers from Herod's army, maybe politicians, maybe businessmen of another sort of business, but why fishermen? And I believe fishermen actually have some characteristics that are worthy of our understanding today. These are men of courage and daring, men who launch out into the deep, men who risk many times their own safety to bring in a harvest. These are men who require patience and determination in the work that they do. These were men who required faith. They didn't know exactly where to go oftentimes or how the fish would bite, but they launched out by faith. And these are also men who knew how to work together in throwing the nets and bringing the nets back in. And that's the kind of men Jesus needs today. Men of faith and courage and patience, and men who will work together to bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard about two ardent fishermen who met on vacation, and they went out fishing together one day, and of course they began to tell their fishing stories, and one fellow said, well, I'll tell you what, I was fishing a few years ago, and it was a vicious battle, and I began to bring this fish in, and I just never thought I would get him in. I thought the line was going to break. He got snagged once. Finally, I got him in, and it was a 300-pound salmon. And the other guy looked at him, and man, his eyes were bulging out, and he said, you know, frankly, I've got to tell you what, I never have caught a 300-pound salmon. He said, I'll tell you what I did catch once, though. He said, I was pulling it up, and when I got it up, it was a lantern, and it had a tag on it proving that it was from 1912. And not only was it from 1912, but this lantern was waterproof, and not only was it waterproof, but the light was still lit. After a long time, the first fisherman said, all right, look. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to take 200 pounds off my fish if you'll get the lamp out of that lantern. You know, you get around some folks that in their fisherman days, they might have caught a big one. But we're going to talk today about how to do a great work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at the ministry of Jesus. First of all, it was a ministry of communication. The Bible says that he preached the word of God. They pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Luke chapter 4 and verse 43, the Bible says, and he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. May I say to you this morning that the focal point of this ministry is the preaching of the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust will heap unto themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. God says in his word, there will come a day when men and women will not want to hear the preaching of the word of God. But Paul said to young Timothy, Timothy, I want you to preach it anyways. I want you to declare the truth anyways. And the ministry of Jesus was a ministry of preaching the word of God. May we always remember that people do not come to a church, and they do not come to this church for the buildings necessarily, for the programs, or for some of the auxiliary things. But people are coming to hear what the Bible says because the Bible changes lives. And they were coming to hear Jesus as he taught them the Word of God. His ministry was a ministry of communication. His ministry, secondly, was a ministry of condescension. I want you to see the Bible says in verse 3, and he entered into one of the ships. And I want you to think about that for just a moment. He, the Son of God, the Creator of the world, he who left heaven's glory, he who came from streets of gold and passed through gates of pearl, he entered into one of Peter's ships, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Peter was fishing and now cleaning his nets. If they did not clean these fishing nets, they would rot in the sun. And it was important that they would rinse off these fishing nets and keep them in good repair. And so Jesus, during this time, as they were washing the nets, entered into Peter's ship. A smelly ship, no doubt. A ship that had been used for some years, no doubt, bringing fish in. And now they see the Lord Jesus coming in to this environment. And I want you to just picture that in your mind, the humility and the condescension of the Son of God coming in to such an environment. And I want you to take note in your mind that no real ministry happens until we are willing to come to a place of humility in our own lives and willing to serve someone and willing to help someone who may be in a situation far different and more needy than ourselves. I think about our bus workers who go out on Saturdays and go into the homes of hundreds of children here in the Antelope Valley. And many times they'll walk into a home where the house is disheveled and it's dirty and the mother and father perhaps are separated, and it might be a situation where there's much alcohol or drugs or hate and difficulty. And yet thank God for people from this church by the dozens upon dozens who go into those homes with the love of Jesus Christ week after week. Thank God for those this morning who walked past the threshold of filthiness and past the threshold of sin and went into the little home and gathered little 10-year-old and 12-year-old children and little 8-year-old children and brought them on a church bus and brought them onto this campus so that they could learn the love of Jesus and the Word of God. No ministry happens until we're willing to cross such thresholds and go into such places with the gospel ministry. I think of those this past year who've entered into the convalescent homes and preached to those who are at death's door. I think of those who go into the critical care homes and into situations where the odors are foul and the mood is not happy, and yet it is there that the ministry of Christ is done and that takes place. The Bible says in James 4 and verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. You see, the ministry of Jesus was a ministry of communicating truth, but it was also a ministry of condescending to our low as state. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful this morning that the perfect Son of God left heaven's glory to walk on this old sin-sick earth in order that I might be saved and that you might be saved. The ministry of Jesus is therefore a ministry of condescension. But notice thirdly, His ministry was a ministry of comprehension. You see, as I read the text, I see a man, Peter, who at one point is going to try to tell Jesus about fishing and try to tell Jesus why his method would not work. And yet in the midst of that, we see the omniscience of God. We see that Jesus knew the needs of people. We see that Jesus knew the needs of Peter. He knew Peter better than Peter knew himself. And before you try to argue with the message today, and before you start arguing with God again in the new year, I want to remind you that God is omniscient. He knows you. He knows exactly what your limitations are, and He knows how He can work beyond your limitations. And so before you argue with God, why don't you try this year trusting God? He is an omniscient, trustworthy God. John 2:24, but Jesus did not commit Himself unto them because He knew all men, and needed not that any testify of man, for He knew what is in man. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. So the omniscient creator of the world steps into a smelly fisherman's boat. And that is a picture of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to hear this morning. I want you not only to see the fishing boat, not only to sense that Jesus came in a condescension to this fishing boat, but I want you to now hear the message of Jesus Christ or the mandate of Jesus Christ. Notice secondly the mandate of Jesus Christ in verse number 4. Now, when He left speaking, He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a draught. Now let's read that verse together. Ready? Begin. Now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets for a draught. Let down your nets for a draught. Now we see the mandate of Jesus, first of all, is that they were to leave, or they were to launch out from the shore where they were presently located. And in this simple phrase, launch out into the deep, Jesus was challenging them to leave their comfort zone, to leave the place of safety, to leave the place of comfort, and to launch back out into the deep. Many times in this day and age, there are pastors and churches and church members at a new year who are in the harbor of safety, in the harbor of contentment, in the harbor of complacency at times. And we know that God wants us to launch out by faith and trust Him and serve Him. But oftentimes we want to stay in the harbor, don't we? We want to stay on the dock. We want to find a place of safety. But the message of Jesus is, launch out, Peter, launch out into the deep. Now that made no human sense to Peter. Peter had already toiled all night. He knew his work. He didn't need a carpenter telling him what to do. He had his field of expertise. And here was Jesus telling him to launch out. It's a well-known fact with the Sea of Galilee that you fish during the night. It's a well-known fact that you don't go into the deep water in the daytime. What Jesus is telling Peter to do is the exact opposite of what he reasoned would be the right thing to do. And I'm just going to give you a little hint about the Christian life. Whether it's in witnessing or giving or in forgiving, that many things Jesus calls upon us to do are in exact opposition to our human reasoning. It's not a life of logic or reasoning. It is a life of faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And some of the things that we will share from this pulpit tonight, I'll be honest with you, absolutely make no human sense. But I don't want to enter into this year to see what I can do or what you can do. I want to be a part of a work where we're seeing what God can do. And so we're not going to just figure out what we can do and what makes human sense. It didn't make human sense to go back out onto the Sea of Galilee. There's a pattern that I see repeated in the Scripture page after page, and that is simply this. Sometimes God does not intervene until something is humanly impossible. God loves to intervene when the odds are impossible, humanly speaking, because then He receives the glory. Now, you can be a part of a church where you get the glory, or we can be a part of the church where God gets the glory, and I submit to you that we launch out this new year so that at the end of this year, we can truly sing, to God be the glory for the great things He has done. Now, how do you launch? Jesus says, I want you to leave where you're at and launch out. But how do you do that? I want you to think about this with me. Notice what it says in the next verse, number 5. Simon Peter answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. And we're going to study that in just a moment a little more. But he says then, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, here's what I want you to do this year. I want you to launch every time the Word of God speaks to your heart. I want to challenge you to launch at His Word, to move forward at the Word of God. And Peter was wise to remember that there is power in the Word of God, and there is authority in the Word of God. In fact, just a few verses before this, in chapter 4 and verse 39, Jesus stood over a sick woman, and He rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Peter had already seen that there's power in the Word of God. And my friend, we here at Lancaster Baptist Church have seen there is power in the Word of God. And the most foolish thing we could do is sit in the harbor in 2013 when Jesus Christ is calling us to go out by faith and trust His Word. And so we see here in the Word of God that He has given this opportunity to launch out in response to the Word of God. And I believe that God has been gracious to the Lancaster Baptist Church because we have had a proper attitude toward the Word of God. We do not view it as allegory. We do not view it as poetry, though there is poetry. We do not view it merely as history, though it is history. We have approached this Bible for 27 years as it should be approached, the infallible, preserved, perfect Word of God. And if we'll approach it that way again and find our marching orders from the Word of God, He will bless this church once again. How do you launch out, Pastor? At His Word. When His Word speaks, we launch. We move. We go as God commands. And then I want you to see this with me this morning. Where do we launch? God says, I want you to launch out at My Word. But where do we launch? Notice something in the verse, in verse 4. He says, launch out into the deep. Now, would you say that phrase with me, please? Launch out into the deep. All right, one more time. Launch out into the deep. All right. God says, I want you to launch out into the deep. Now, here we are, a bunch of Baptists this morning, and we're sitting here on the dock, and we're looking out at a new year. And we've got choices to make, ladies and gentlemen. Are we going to dip our toe in the water? Are we going to go out just a little ways? Are we going to try the 2% tithe? We're going to try maybe once in a while witnessing? Are we going to live for God on every other day? How are we going to approach this? Jesus said to Peter, Peter, I don't want you just to launch out. I want you to go way out. I want you to launch out into the deep. You see, faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. I remember years ago going out on the ocean for one of the first times with my granddad and some of our family, and he had a fishing boat, and he loved to fish, and once a year he took that boat down to Guaymas, Mexico, and he'd get as many family members to go with him, and there were so many family members this year we couldn't all fit in his boat, and so we chartered a boat and went out into the Sea of Cortez, and we were going out there to catch some kind of different cod and grouper and all these different things, and we got out in the middle of that water, and a storm began to rage. The waves began to crash against the boat. The clouds were heavy. The rain was heavy. And I mean, it was bad. People were going into the inside of that boat and were laying down. My dad, my granddad, everybody's in there throwing up, being sick. It was terrible. And I remember folks were even worried. That boat was just being tossed around like a cork. And I remember my granddad going up to the top, and he went up to that skipper up there, and he said, excuse me, he said, have you ever been in a storm quite this bad? And the skipper looked at my granddad and he said, see, but in a much bigger boat. I remember that didn't give us a lot of comfort when he said that. I'm going to tell you what, sometimes you get out into the deep, you better pray that God is there with you. But that's exactly what God intended to do. He intended to be with Peter every step of the way. Back in 1967, there was a song written, and I think it might be the theme song for some Baptists I know. The song was Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. Some of you don't start singing it when I say the words. I was a little worried about this. Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes. Watching the ships roll in, and I watch them roll away again. Sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay. What are the last two words? Wasting time. Some of you could go on a TV show and win money. Sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Now you can either join Dock of the Bay Baptist Church, or you can reignite your membership at Lancaster Baptist Church. But I've got to be honest with you, on the first Sunday of the new year, we are not going to sit on the dock of the bay. We're going to launch out into the deep where Jesus Christ has called us. You see, that's what God has called us to. He says, at my word, I want you to launch out into the deep. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, it is dead being alone. That's why on January 27th, the day of our revival meeting, I'm calling every man in this room to meet me in the North Auditorium for our Into the Deep Men's Fellowship. I've purchased a book for you. I'm asking you to get that book, to read that book, to be accountable in your Bible study and with another man in this church. And I'm asking our men to launch out into the deep in their Bible study, in their Bible memory, in their walk with God. And we're going to ask the men, get off the dock, get out into the deep. You say, I'm feeling a little uncomfortable. Good. You know, every time we've begun a building program at this church, I felt a little uncomfortable. Every time we've hired a new staff member, every time we've taken on a new missionary, every time we've done anything that matters for eternity, I have to be honest with you, I don't always know how it's going to work, but I've always known there's a God in heaven pressing upon my heart to step out by faith, and I want to challenge you men, step out by faith on January 27th and launch out into the deep this year with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We got too many Baptist men in the baby pool. Sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. God has given you a life. God wants you to steward this life, and we're calling our ladies to ladies' Bible study in the various times of meeting, in the daytimes, in the evening times. We'll tell you about it tonight. Calling our church family to outreach and soul winning, and calling our teenagers to a brand new program of Wednesday night Bible study where they'll be fueled on the Word of God, and we're expanding our public school Bible study program. I'm just saying, we're not going to sit on the dock of the bay wasting time at Lancaster Baptist Church. We're launching out into the deep, and here the mandate of Jesus is leave your comfort zone. And then I want you to see, secondly, his mandate is believe on me. Now, I want you to see the rest of that verse 4. In the red letter edition of verse number 4, you'll see these words. It says, launch out into the deep. Now, notice the second phrase, and let down your nets for a draught. Would you say that with me? And let down your nets. Jesus says, I want you first to get out there, and then I want you to let down your nets because you're about ready to catch more fish than you've ever caught in your entire life. Jesus doesn't want you just going out into the sea. He wants you going out expecting that He is about ready to do something great for you out there. He wants us to move out into the new year expecting that He is able, and the Bible says He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we would ever ask or think. He said, I want you to prepare for the draft. Now, frankly, Satan has two primary tactics when it comes to neutralizing God's people. And the two primary tactics Satan tries to use are discouragement and fear. And I've watched some of the best members of this church go through seasons where they get a little discouraged or a little fearful. It might be about health or economy or work or schedule or kids or other things. And in the moment, there comes that paralysis of analysis. And in the paralysis of analysis, we stop living by faith and we start living by human reasoning. And we sit on the dock of the bay and we can go 12-month periods and never see a soul saved, never see a life change, never grow closer to God. And I want to challenge you to leave your comfort zone and believe that God will take care of everything else. If you'll take care of God's business, He'll take care of your business. Yeah, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I got this commitment, and I got this commitment. And Peter could have said the same, but he said, I want you to trust me. I want you to believe on me. Mark chapter 5 and verse 36, be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. Now, I'm like you. I see the news. I understand that the countries are changing. I understand I'm not ministering in the same kind of a culture that my grandpa ministered in, but I'm going to tell you something this morning. I serve the same God that he served, and I serve the same God that John R. Rice served, and Lee Robertson served, and Tom Malone served. I serve the same God that every old prophet ever served, and he is able to do great and mighty things even in 2013. Amen. So this morning, we hear the mandate of Jesus. He says, I want you to launch out, and by the way, I want you to launch out expecting me to do something for you. Too many Christians are just kind of hanging on for the rapture right now. Kind of got this idea, there's just a few of us left, and I'm not sure about you. But we'll just hang on for the rapture. And Jesus said, get off the dock and get out into the deep. The ministry of Jesus is a ministry of preaching. The mandate of Jesus is to launch out by faith. Notice thirdly, and really this is the heart of the message, the mission of a disciple. What is it exactly that God wants us to take from this text? What is our mission this year? And I'm going to give you three steps. I'm going to give you three principles for every committed disciple this morning. First, our mission, letter A, have faith in Jesus. Have faith in Jesus. Now, verse 5 is a very interesting verse, and I want you to study it with me. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, Peter uses a word here, master. This is the first time it is translated in the New Testament as master. And it is only used by Luke in Luke's gospel. The other gospels refer to Jesus with different terms such as Lord. But Peter refers to him as master, the one that is over, the one that is the teacher, the guide, the one that is the ruler. And when you understand that he is your master, you will more quickly come to the place that you will say, nevertheless, at thy word I will. Until he is truly your master, you are not going to say, at thy word I will. And there's things in all of our lives this morning that we have said to God, God, I'll do this, but I won't do this. I'll do the Sunday morning thing, but I don't do the Sunday night thing. I'll help a missionary, but I don't do the witnessing thing. Now, I'm not being mean, I'm just being honest. All of us have things in our lives that we say, I will and I won't. And I'm not even saying in every case those are right or wrong, unless they're explicitly in the Word of God. You better be saying, I will. And you're never going to say, I will, unless you say first, Master. Master. Let's say that word together. Master. Now, at first, Peter does what some of us do. And I want you to see this in verse 5. He says, we have toiled all night. Master. He begins to make his excuses. Master, we've toiled. Lord, we've been at this thing all night. I'm a skilled fisherman. This is my band of fishermen. We have a small conglomerate here, me and James and John, and we've been doing this a long time, and we respect you, and we believe in you, but you know more about carpentry. We know more about fishing, and we have toiled all night. And if you're not careful, you can get into this mindset. Lord, now, you're the Lord. You saved me 22 years ago, but Lord, you don't understand. Things are changed. I'm a little older now. These bones are a little crickety now, and I don't have as much energy now, and my kid this, and my job that, and society this, and it's just, you know, Lord, we've toiled a long time at this, and here's Pastor telling us, launch out, and I want to sit on the dock of the bay and eat shrimp. I have been toiling a long time. I've given these building banquets. I've worked on a bus. I've been an usher. I've done this. I've done that. And that's what Peter's starting. He starts down that path. And I love you this morning. I pastor people on all parts of the path. But some of us need to stop saying, I've been toiling all night. And we need to get to that part that says, nevertheless, I will. And here we see that Peter has an example for us. And that is, have faith in Jesus. He said, I've been toiling all night, but notice this verse again, and I have taken nothing. By the way, how's it working? How's your little plan working? Peter says, I've toiled all night, but I've taken nothing. Nevertheless, see, some of you need to get to that. Nevertheless, I tried it my way. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now let's read that together, beginning at nevertheless. Ready to begin. Nevertheless, at thy word. Oh, it just does my heart good to hear 1,000 Baptists say, I will. Let's just say, I will let down the net. I will let down the net. I will let down the net. Nevertheless, at thy word, and learning to obey his word is the first test of discipleship. Just being willing to say, that's all I want you to do in the new year. When the Lord speaks to you directly through his word, or when the word is preached and there's some application that comes to your heart by the Holy Spirit, just say, I will, Lord, at thy word, I will. And I want to challenge you this year very simply. Listen to God, not the critic, not the internet, God. Criticism is something you can avoid easily, by the way, by saying nothing, doing nothing, and being nothing. But if you intend to launch out, someone's going to go, look at that nut. He's launching out. There's no wind. Where's he going? Doesn't know what he's doing. But I want to challenge you this morning. Don't listen to the critic. Don't listen to the media. Don't let someone else set your agenda. Listen to God this year. And when he speaks, then by faith do what God has called you to do. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when God increases your faith, then follow what God is calling you to do. And don't be slow to obey. Don't be partial in your obedience. Do what God has called you to do. We teach our children, our grandchildren, delayed obedience is disobedience. Do what God is calling you to do. I cannot say that I've always obeyed as quickly as I wish I would. I cannot say that I've always obeyed in the first place. But I can say that every time I have obeyed my Savior, I have not been disappointed. Amen. He has never disappointed me. He has never let me down. I came to this city as a 24-year-old man who believed that God could do anything but fail. And I believe that God could raise up a soul-winning, missionary-minded church in the backside of the desert in an LA county where others said it could not be done. And I simply launched out by faith, trusting God. And God, in his merciful wonders, God, in his gracious giving, has allowed us to see the beginning point of a wonderful ministry in Lancaster. Pastor. Why? Because we launched out not knowing how it would all work, not knowing everything that God would do, just believing that He would. And God has been so gracious. I stood on the corner of this property in 1988, and I believe that God somehow, some way, could take this old dusty alfalfa field and turn it into a beautiful campus where children can learn the Word of God, and teenagers could learn the Word of God, and adults could hear the preaching of the Word of God, and another generation could be changed by the Word of God. And I tell you this morning, I'm thankful I've stepped out and had faith in Jesus Christ. I remember back in 1995 standing in front of a modular building and announcing the welcome and opening of West Coast Baptist College, and just trusting God and welcoming 30 or 40 students. And I thank God that this year over 1,000 young people from 47 states and 26 countries are training in the Word of God at West Coast Baptist College. I didn't know everything. I'm still learning. I've got a lot to learn, but I got to tell you, there are 1,500 young men and women out preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ because this church just launched out by faith, you see. I just want to say this morning, it's no time to start living by our own human reasoning. We must continue by faith, having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, we must walk in fellowship with Jesus. We must have faith in Jesus, and we must walk in fellowship with Jesus. Notice, if you would, now, in verse number 6, it says, "And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" When you see God at work, it's a humbling, frightening thing. And the fellowship that you get when you launch out, when you try to witness, when you get involved in giving, when you get involved in serving, the way you begin to grow is much deeper than what you experience sitting on the dock of the bay. Because out on the deep water, you learn how to trust and pray, and you learn that God can do some great things out there that you could not do. But you have to have fellowship with Jesus. Now, fellowshipping with Jesus involves two things. First, it involves refusing pride. Refusing our own pride. Verse 8 tells me, when Simon Peter saw it, please notice, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Peter bows in worship to the Lord. Warren Wiersbe said Peter was humbled not by his night of failure, but by his astounding success. This is a mark of real character. If success humbles you, then failure will build you up. Here we see a man who was so in awe of Jesus, so humbled by what Jesus had done. Like Isaiah of old, in the year that King Uzziah died, "I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne high and lifted up, and his train filled his temple." And Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am a man undone, a man of unclean lips." And I'm going to tell you, my prayer this year is that all of us will come to that place where we fellowship with the Lord, realizing He is high and lifted up and holy and wonderful, and where we truly humble ourselves before Him. That's why we have the revival meeting in 3 weeks from today. A time of humbling and consecration. A time that's inconvenient for your schedule, and it's good to inconvenience ourselves to get close to God. So that we can humble ourselves and say, my little agenda is not as important as seeing God high and lifted up. And then not only do we humble ourselves, but we must follow Him. If you're going to fellowship with Him, then notice verse 11. It says, "And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Him." Jesus said, "If any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus doesn't want you literally to hate your wife and your parents, but he says, I want you to follow me with such a passionate love, with such a wonderful love, that the love you have for everyone else is so much less. And many times, it's just the opposite. Young men and young women fall in love, and young men have this object of adoration, and older men have their toys and their hobbies, and they have things that they love more than Jesus Christ. And I'm going to be honest with you, if you would keep track of your dollars spent and your hours in service of the Lord, you'd find out He is not always the real priority of our lives. And I want to challenge you the new year with your time, with your resources, to worship Jesus and fall down at His feet and forsaking all, following Him. And you see, that's the mission of a disciple, that we would truly follow the Lord Jesus Christ and fellowship with Him. Our mission, have faith in Jesus. Our mission, follow Jesus. Thirdly, our mission, bear fruit with Jesus. Jesus has called us to bear fruit. Now, I'm not an expert fisherman. Some of you can school me on this year, because we're going to talk a lot about the water this year. How many of you living in the desert like talking about water like I do? It's fun, especially when it's summertime and it's 179 degrees outside. You're going to love this theme more in July, I guarantee you. You can catch fish off the dock of the bay. You can. Now, I'll be honest with you. The ones I see them catching down Long Beach and San Diego and so forth, they're kind of gross. I'm not being critical when I say this. I watch a lot of folks, a lot of Vietnamese. They like to catch these. They're about this long. They're about this skinny. Little silver fish. They're the kind I like to use for bait. They like to eat them. I'm telling you, what you catch right there off the shore, you might get a good one now and then, but they're usually little. You're going to catch the big one, you got to launch out a little farther. You got to get out a little farther. And Jesus says in verse 10, and I don't want you to miss this, because someone might say, Pastor Chappell's taking a sermon about fishing and trying to tell all of us to go out and witness and give and serve, and I just don't connect the dots. Well, good, because Jesus is about to connect them for you. Verse 10, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt what? Now that's the theme verse for all the single girls at West Coast Baptist College right there. Just a little joke, sorry girls, I just couldn't pass that one up. Okay, fear not. You see, I can't connect the dots between fishing on the Sea of Galilee and my involvement in these areas, okay? Let Jesus connect them. Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. A disciple has faith in Jesus. A disciple fellowships humbly with Jesus. A disciple bears fruit with Jesus. And here Peter learns the lesson. Peter, it's not about more boats. It's not about better nets. It's not about better gear. It's not about all of that. It's about catching men. And that's why in 1986 we established Team Soul Winning. Train every available member. That's why on January 22nd, Brother Furso begins a new training session, training in soul winning. That's why we have a full-time pastoral staff member who leads the way in one thing: outreach, soul winning, door knocking, follow-up, helping people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to challenge you in the new year, carry a gospel track with you wherever you go. Attend the soul winning meetings. Be a part of this thing of catching men. I see in the Bible that disciples of Jesus catch men. You say, there's a lot of liberals out there. Catch one. There's a lot of lost people out there. Well, at least throw the net. You say, well, I don't know which one will get saved and which one won't. That's the beauty of it. You don't have to. That's why it's all of faith. God didn't tell me to know who's going to get saved and who's not going to get saved. God told me to throw the net. And He told me to be out there catching men. I don't know how His Holy Spirit will work in whose life. I just want to be a part of that process. It's a privilege to be a part of that process. I wish we had time to tell you of all the lives God changed just in this last 12 months. I want you to see the story of one family that through door knocking and websites and ushers and teachers, God spoke to their heart and changed their life. Let's see the story.
It looked nice, pretty big, and I'm like, you know, let's just go check it out.
Once I heard the pastor preaching, I'm like, wow, like I can really understand what he's saying, and he challenges me.
It just wasn't like a fairy tale, it was like, you know, straight to the point, you know, of how God works and what we have to do as Christians, and it was good for me. It was like kind of like a enlightenment for me. When I got saved, I think it was the second Sunday. I was like, let's do it. Put everything aside. Let's go for it. Let me become part of this church. Let me become part of this faith.
Try the following Sunday to come into the couples class. Loved it.
We enjoyed it. You know, we were going through, you know, some relationship problems, and it really just got us back in track.
See the couples class as like counseling every week for us, where we get to learn something new and apply it to our relationship, and it has made our relationship 10 times stronger.
We started going to just one Sunday to, you know, Sunday night, Wednesday, you know. That was the first for me. I was on it, you know, Sunday, that's it. You know, I was going like three times, you know. So it was a little experience for us, but, you know, it was for the better.
You're able to seek help without people pointing the finger at you, you did this wrong. And they help us grow. And everybody that we've met at the church has helped us grow.
You know, it's a kind of like a lifeline now for us. You know, like, we're having troubles, you know, let's go to church. The accident was on, what, October 19th, around 8:30. And we were crossing an intersection, and a guy ran a red light.
We're just three families getting ready to get in the car. And I can't remember anything from the accident. I just know I was in one.
And I remember waking up in the ICU, and I remember seeing Brother Rule. Rule was the first guy I saw.
I fall asleep, and I open my eyes to Pastor Chapel. And I'm like, uh-oh, am I in trouble? Because it's Saturday, my husband's supposed to go soul winning, and we're not at church.
Security told me I had more than 100 people visit me. You know, I could say about 80% of them were from the church.
Some of my family members, and they tell me, who are all those people sitting out there? They're just asking to see you, and they're coming in twos and threes to come see you and Stephen and the other people involved in the car. And I'm like, those are my church family, and I'm very, very proud to say that.
The church was there, regardless. When I got out, they visited my house. You know, when I was in the hospital, their ICU, they visited me. This is my church family, that regardless where we're at, they will be by our side. It's only been a year I've been in this church, and it's been a big, big difference. I mean, I haven't seen a difference like this in a time span of 7 years that I just did in 1 year. And a lot of it came from this church.
Thank God that this one family, representing many others, accepted Christ as their Savior. They're growing in grace. And you see, what we enjoy in this church is truly miraculous. The things I'll share with you tonight, looking back over 2012, absolutely amaze me. But what about those that still do not know? The Bible says in Psalm 126 and verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, shall bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him. I'm just saying, where are the people this year who will launch out to catch men? Many will launch out to start a new company. Many will launch out to get another degree. Many will launch out to in some business venture. But where are those who will launch out to catch others with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Listen, being a pastor, having a pastor's heart, it's something like a father's heart. And that means I love you no matter what, no matter where you are on this journey. But I want to challenge you this morning to launch out into the deep. I want to challenge you this morning to hear what Jesus says, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. I want you to hear the call of our Savior to come out into the deep, to launch out. And the question this morning is, are you going to sit on the dock of the bay, or will you join me in catching men, in throwing out the net? Will you say this morning, I've got this problem and I've got this work and I've got this. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Folks, if we wanted to, all of us could make our list of what's going on in our busy lives. But where are those today who will say, nevertheless, at thy word, Lord, I'm going to let down the net. And to those of you who by faith enter this new year, get ready for a big catch. Get ready to see God do what only God can do.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If this message has helped you, we hope you will share with a friend or family member. We always love to hear from those whom God has changed through His Word. Share your story with us at lancasterbaptist.org/contact.